Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, let's open them to the book of Proverbs this morning. The book of Proverbs. It was after the service one Sunday several years ago, a lady walked up to me, and she was not being critical. She was inquisitive. She had been to our church several times. Here's what she asked. Pastor, do you study for your sermons? And I said, ma'am, maybe it doesn't look like it sometimes, but I really do. I really do. And so I was telling someone recently, can you hear in the back, Brother Raul? Can you hear? Raul, can you hear? Raul, can you hear? He's just smiling at me. And so I tell people sometimes what I do, I'll come to the pulpit with several messages. And it's kind of like the quarterback when he looks on his wrist and he's looking at the plays. And it's kind of a play call. It's an audible. So when I put my hands under the pulpit like this, it's an audible. And so I had three. I was going to speak this morning on avoiding friction in the home. But I knew none of you needed that. Then I thought about speaking on how to end your life sweet, how to be a sweet old lady or a sweet old man at the end of your life. But I didn't see any old people here this morning. So I'm going to go a different direction. You say, well, Pastor, will we ever hear those other ones? Yes, you will. Maybe tonight, one of them. And so I've got them all ready, and I want to give you this instead. So we're in Proverbs chapter 15. And it's good to see Brother Jeff Hansen's buddy, Brandon, all the way from Los Angeles. Brandon, won't you stand, would you please? And long lifetime friend. And I appreciate that. Last time I saw Brandon, he got baptized here. And I don't know if that was on a Sunday. Was it a Sunday or like a weekday? It was a Sunday. And Brother Jeff actually drove down to L.A. and led his old friend to Christ. And he brought him all the way back here to get baptized. You know, that's a real friend. Real friends want their friends to spend eternity with them. So we're in Proverbs chapter 15 for just a moment. And I could preach all three messages. I got alone with the Lord before church. I said, I could preach all three. We need all three. And so this is what you get. So if it's the wrong one, come back tonight. All right? So Proverbs chapter 15. I'll look at about three verses, and here's what it says in verse number 13. It says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Notice again the word, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Countenance means the appearance of your face. Sometimes you can just look at someone's face and say, what's wrong? You know, because something's changed in how it normally is. Sometimes you can look at especially a woman's eyes, and you can tell she's been crying. You can look at a man, and you can tell he's angry about something. Sometimes I can see a couple come in. They park the car, and they're coming into church, and I can tell they've been arguing. And I can say, good to see you. And they'll say, we were just talking about God. Yeah, but it wasn't really talking about it. You were using his name, but it, and so he says, a merry heart doeth good, like changes the countenance. And then look down in verse 15. It says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Now, you could change that word feast. We could use a modern word, blast. Sometimes we say, man, we had a blast. We had a great time. We went on vacation, had a blast. He's saying, he that has a merry heart has a continual blast or a continual party. Our kids, when they were growing up, sometimes they would be invited to birthday parties. And some people know how to do parties, other people don't. How many of you would agree with that? Some parties you've been to, and I'm not saying wicked and drugs and things like that, but I'm saying you walk in, it's like a funeral home. There's no music, There's no decorations. It's just, there is food. Eat. Go home. Leave presents here. You know, it's just, you know, it's almost that bad. And so sometimes our kids would say, Mom, Dad, it's so boring. And it's like hours, no games, no fun. We would always say this, bring the party with you. Bring the party with you. The party needs to be inside of you, and you bring it wherever you go. So that's what he's saying here. And then we'll look at one more verse in 17, chapter 17, verse 22. And again, the background to this passage, if you don't know the Bible well, the king Solomon, who is David's son, the one who killed the giant David. David, the one who's called the man after God's own heart. He felt about things like God felt about. He wrote much of the book of Psalms. He wrote songs. He played a musical instrument. He killed the giant. This is David. This is his son writing this. And his son is now the king, Solomon. He's training his son, Rehoboam, to take over the kingdom. So he's given him lessons. He's talking about boy meets girl. He's talking about boy, a relationship with his friends. He talks about work ethic. He talks about lying and honesty and work ethic. And he talks about all sorts of subjects. Well, he sprinkles in right here. He says, now, son, if you're going to make it, you're going to have a merry heart. You're going to have a merry heart. And the root word to the word merry, M-E-R-R-Y, is this, light or not heavy, light-hearted. You've met people who are heavy-hearted. They've got burdens. They've got problems. They're heavy-hearted. Then you meet people, looks like they walk on air. Looks like nothing bothers them. I mean, they're whistling. They're singing. I mean, there's something exciting. I mean, they're either on drugs or they know God, one or the other. We had two new converts used to sit in this middle section years ago. They were kicked out of Denny's because the restaurant thought they were high or drunk. And they really weren't. They didn't use, they didn't drink. They just had light hearts. And they would go in there and they'd laugh and giggle and cut up. Finally, the management says, you must leave. I would say something at church that they liked. I'd say, the Bible says, and they'd just, woo! And that high five right in the middle of church, just high five. Because they hadn't been here long enough to know that word, amen. They didn't know that, but they knew high five. Hey, I'll take them anytime over some deadbeat that doesn't do anything. And so the word merry just means light or light-hearted. 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I was thinking recently about Dr. Fenton. He was my doctor. That's probably what happened. He was supposed to give me this growth hormone. I think he gave me the wrong thing. But he'd be the guy about eight blocks away. Anytime I was sick, I'd have to go and get a B12 shot. Just a B12 shot. Sometimes he would give me cough syrup or some type of I remember taking something, it's like swallowing dirt, Paragark. And it's to stop throwing up or diarrhea or something, but Paragark, whatever that was. And I remember drinking that stuff. Well, here's what it says. A merry heart is like a medicine. I didn't grab a spoon, but it's medicine for you and it's medicine for those that you're around. So a person with a merry heart has an invisible spoon. And they're saying, want some? Want some? I'll take some too. You want some? Me too. And they're just helping people lighten up. I was at church one Sunday, and I'm going to get to all the points, so you'll get some points. I was at church one Sunday. I looked at someone and said, hey, how you doing? And the man looked at me and said, what do you mean by that? Now, sir, if that's you, you got issues. You got issues. What do you mean? What do I mean by that? I just ask, how you doing? You want to lighten up, folks. We live in a day where the news, life is hard. By the way, it's always been hard. Marriage has always been hard. You got two people with differences of opinions living in the same house. You know, we have to have the Lord to do that. Well, raising kids has always been hard. Ask Moses' mother. The law was you had to throw your kids to the crocodile, throw them in the Nile River. And she hid her son and raised him. And then he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Life's always been hard. But that's why God gives us the Bible. That's why God saves us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to live inside of our heart to help us live. We have something this old world doesn't have. We have who this world needs. And God says, when I come in, I want to make it easier. Life's heavy enough and burdens and bills and cost of living's going up. By the way, I am for the government forgiving debt. I hope they forgive all my credit cards, house payment, car payments, my college way back. Anyway, but I'm saying it's just constant, negative. We need a merry heart. We have these new things that came out in my lifetime on the phones called emojis. I can't spell it, but I know what they are. Emojis. And it is short for emotions. So that way, if you cannot say, I don't feel real good, I'm a little bit nauseous, you just put one little sticker and people understand, oh, I know how you're feeling. Whether it's tears rolling down your eyes or you're shouting or it's a happy face or an angry face or whatever you do. I always send one to people, just this guy with purple hair. Just with purple hair. I sent that to a pastor yesterday. He said, I told him, I said, preach the word. And I sent the emoji with the guy with purple hair. He goes, what's this mean? He's not from California. He's from like Iowa. I said, you wouldn't understand. Emoji. Emotions. Joy brings a merry heart, lighthearted. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's free of known sin. It's lightening up. It's years ago, I was speaking somewhere and I said, almost every picture shows Jesus frowning. Most paintings you see of Jesus, he looks effeminate. He looks like his biceps are about a -3 inches around. Someone ought to paint, he's a carpenter, someone ought to paint like 22 inch biceps. Hopewell Baptist tattoo. No. But all buffed up, big, thick neck. And someone ought to paint him laughing. He's always so depressing. And so I get in the mail after that meeting a painting of Jesus laughing. And someone mailed me that. I've got it in my office right now. Jesus is for a merry heart. He is for Christians having joy. And I want to say this. Young people, when you're not smiling much around the house, there's an issue. There's an issue. Parents, you ought to take mental note. When your kids don't smile a lot, they smirk a lot, they always look depressed, there's something going on. Either they're undergoing depression, or they're undergoing hidden sin, or they're undergoing some pressures of life, some disappointment, some deep hurts. That's a deep-rooted issue. Youth ought to be a great time of life. College years ought to be a great time of life. Our homes ought to be full of laughter. It ought to be full of giggling. There ought to be joking. There ought to be lightness. Some of our homes are more like a funeral home. Welcome. Pick up your casket. Welcome to the Ray family. Anyway, I didn't get to the points. I have to hurry. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were beaten. They're bleeding. They're in stocks. And they're singing. They must have had something. And at midnight, the jailer pops in the jail cell and says, "What must I do to be saved?" You're bleeding. We've beaten you for preaching and you're singing and praying. What is it that you have? That a light heart. Paul is on a ship and the ship's going down. He's being brought to trial. They're throwing things overboard and he says, "Be of good cheer. God is with us." That guy was lighthearted. Got a phone call years ago. I've told you about it. A kid was at Bible college. He called me and he said, "Pastor, is it worth it to finish Bible college, Christian college?" I said, "What do you mean? What do you think I'm going to say? No." I said, "Sure, it's worth it." He said, "Is it worth serving God?" I said, yes, it's worth serving God. I said, by the way, why did you call me? Here's what he said. Because I think you have more fun than anybody I know. And I said, I'm up at the top. I believe that's true. They used to call people that believe the Bible fundamentalist. Notice the first syllable, fun. Not sad dementalist. Not depressed dementalist. Fundamentalist. Yeah, we believe this Bible. We ought to have more fun than anybody at Woodstock. I mean, Bottle Rock. Some of you said, it wasn't very fun last night, Pastor. I was there. It cost me $1,200 to get in. Do you know what the hot dogs cost? We found what they've been looking for. Sometimes we wonder why our kids jump ship. And if yours has, I'm not demeaning you. That could be any one of us. Every family is like a ship that's sailing toward heaven. Mom or dad or single parent and got the kids. And we're saying, live right and love God. And we're teaching and training them. But here's what happens. Are you ready? Then another ship pulls on this side. And another ship pulls on this side. And the drinking and the drugging, and the cursing, and they're doing all sorts of wicked things, but it looks like they're having such a great time. And our ship is so boring, our kids are jumping over and swimming to the other ships. That's why sometimes we make church so crazy and fun. We've had a camel come down the aisle. We've had magic carpet here. We've had ladies' conferences. And sometimes maybe I cut up a little bit because they're comparing us to all the other ships. It's worth serving the Lord. Amen. I've been in church since I was age 7. That is now 58 years. I got saved 53 years ago. There's no other life I would want. I've read that Bible dozens and dozens of times. I've seen thousands and thousands of people saved, baptized thousands of people, taught I don't know how many lessons, made friendships around this world. There's no life like the Christian life. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a great thing. Years ago, I was coming back from preaching. I was at the airport in Sacramento, and I had sold some books. I've written a few books, and I was selling what the cheapskates, what the Christians did not buy. So I've got two suitcases, one in each hand. I'm rolling it to my car, and I look next to my car in the parking lot, and something's moving. I thought maybe it was the heat on the asphalt kind of making it buckle. And I looked close. No, it was something moving next to my car. I stopped and looked. It was about this long. Must have been a baby. Had a rattle in its tail. I said, no way. I said, I'll get in on the other side. Then I thought, well, it's going to be some little old lady come to her car and it's going to bite her and kill her. It'll be my fault. I said, all right. I looked up. I said, but Lord, I don't have my sling in my hand. I don't have my staff in my hand. And it seemed like I heard a voice. What is in thine hand? I said, all I have is two suitcases. And I thought, whatsoever thou doest, do it with all your might. So I took that first suitcase. I rolled it over that snake. He reared up, tried to strike. I rolled it over him again. He tried to get away. I said, rolled it over. Got his head. Now he's slithering. Then I went into lawnmower mode. And I just kind of went like that. Finally, he stopped moving. He was dead. And I thought, where is my wife to see me now? I mean, I've killed a rattlesnake with my own two suitcases. And I didn't realize it, but there was a crowd of people watching. And with all the cars there, they never saw the snake. They just saw a gray-haired guy with two suitcases having a real good time. Lighthearted. A psychiatrist asked a woman, does your husband ever wake up grumpy in the morning? She says, no, I usually let him sleep till noon. My dad whistled when he'd walked through the door. I could tell he was home. He was whistling. Maybe you heard that. I shouldn't tell this. This guy was thrown in jail his first day there. He's trying to be careful, doesn't want to get beat up or hurt. And he hears one of the inmates say, 27. And everyone just started laughing. Someone else said, 89. And they burst into laughter. He said, excuse me. He said, I don't get it. He said, I've just been in jail. People hollering numbers. I don't understand what's so funny. They said, well, we've been here so many years. We only know so many jokes, so we number them. So that way we just yell out the number, and it saves us from telling the joke. Why don't you try it? He said, okay. 89, silence. 27, silence. He said, what's wrong? Then mate said, some people can tell jokes, some people can't. What was it that gave David such a merry heart, a light heart? I want to give you just quickly some facts about merry hearts. Number one, it's medicine to you and others. God designed our vocal cords to be able to laugh. He designed us to have emotions, a funny bone, if you will. And interesting, many of the television shows are sitcoms, situation comedies. Why? Because they know how much people need to laugh. Reader's Digest for years had a section, Laughter is the Best Medicine. In the book, Analogy of an Illness, they tried this on cancer patients. People who were terminal, they had given up on, they played comedies 24 hours a day in their rooms. As people were walking down the cancer ward, they heard laughter, people belly laughing, giggling. They said, this is a cancer ward, they're laughing. They were playing all those, and some took a turn for the better. How come? Because emotions affects our physical health as well. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Years ago during our Halloween substitute fall festival, we always tell people just dress up different, but nothing scary. No witches, ghosts, things like that. So my wife and I were talking, what can we come? The shock effect, what can we be? And we decided, after praying for hours, punk rockers. So I spiked the hair up, had all the glitter in my hair, and had some tattoos on, and the arm tattoos, and an earring, and some piercings. And my wife had these wild shoes, and tattoo holes, or whatever it was. Anyway, we walk in, and one of the ladies walks up and says, Pastor, she said, my kid asked me, can I be a punk rocker for the church activity? And I told him, what would Pastor think? There I was. If I have too much fun, brand me guilty. I've cried enough tears. You got to balance it out. God wants to give some merry hearts. Some of you have had terrible youth, terrible childhoods, terrible families. And God says, I got something for you. It's called a merry heart. You don't have to live that way the rest of your life. It doesn't have to be heavy. There's something that's light. And God wants to give that to us. It affects your countenance. Billy Sunday said, a religion that makes a man look sick will not cure the world. What is it? It's a continual feast. I probably shouldn't tell this. Okay, I'll give you three real quick. So I'm in Africa a long time ago. Long story. Close your ears if you don't like to eat animals. If you only eat vegetables, close your ears. So I'm in Africa preaching. Someone calls and there's this lion that wants to meet its maker. He wants to go to heaven real soon. I said, well, I'll help him out. You know, if I must. So anyway, the lion. So all I did was just shoot several shots in the air. And those lions are so fast, he ran right in front of it. He went to heaven. So I'm taking pictures with this lion. So I put on my LSU shirt and take a picture. I put on my New Orleans Saints shirt, take a picture. I put on my Golden State Baptist College shirt, take a picture. They said, we've never seen this in our life. I said, you don't know my friends. Then I put on a West Coast Baptist College shirt and take a picture. And I put on Howes Anderson, and I'm taking all these pictures with different team pictures and sending these pictures, and they're saying, you are so loyal to our college. And I said, I want a picture with his mouth open. And they said, well, straddle him, reach over, stick your fingers in his nostrils, and pull up, and his mouth will drop open. We'll take a picture. I said, okay. Well, they knew what would happen. As soon as I put my fingers in his mouth and opened it up, the last air went through his vocal cords. I'm on his back. Roar! And he roared. His eyes are still open. I jumped about 20 feet, landed on the ground, shaking. And they thought that was real funny. They had a merry heart. I was at a pastor's conference. Brother Rule went to the same one. And the one I went to, the people are just a little bit stiff. They're not quite like us. Not going to name the name. Lancaster Baptist Church, West Coast Baptist College. At their college graduation, they say, no one amens. No one cheers. When they get their diploma, they're marching out to battle. Just say, amen. I mean, 4 years to hear, amen. So I just figured we needed to liven things up. So I'm in line at the pastor's conference. And so I found me a hat with a ponytail. Gray hair, gray ponytail. Had the hat on. Got my Bible. I'm registering. Pretty soon I hear people whispering, who's that? Who's that? Well, I just figured we'd liven up the crowd. So, a light heart. It got me almost kicked out of the conference. So, that's... How do you get this continual feast, Pastor? Learn to laugh at yourself. During the pandemic, the lady who invited my family to church, Mrs. Vorner, passed away. Her husband passed away during Katrina. He had surgery there in New Orleans. The hospital filled up with water. The bottom floors, they brought him to the roof of the hospital. He had just had back surgery, no pain meds. He was there for 3 days, dehydrated. Many of the employees abandoned the hospital. Crazy. So anyway, Mrs. Vorner passed away. She's one that knocked on our door, invited us to church. My whole family came to the Lord. So during the pandemic, she passed away in Mississippi. The funeral is going to be outdoors under a tent at the cemetery. They're going to live stream the service from here. So I'm here. And the whole crowd is gathering. It's going to be at a certain time. So I've got my cell phone. I don't want to start the service if they're not ready, if they're not all connected. So Mrs. Vorner's name is Martha Vorner. I've got her daughter's name, her grown daughter, who's about 50. Her name is Marcia Vorner. So Martha, Marcia. Martha is in heaven. Marcia is leading the funeral service in Mississippi. So I'm getting all ready, got my Bible, and I'm just wondering if they're ready. So I text Martha, the daughter. Can you hear me? And I sent it. I thought I sent it to her. I sent it to Mrs. Vorner, who was in heaven. Can you hear me? I'd have been scared if it had been loud and clear. But I told them later, I said, man, here I'm trying to text you, and I'm texting someone in heaven. A merry heart. So how do you get it? We're out of time. How do you get, what are some practical things, Pastor? How do we get that? And I'm not saying be just some silly person that giggles all the time out of your mind. How do you get that merry heart? I need it. By the way, every teenager needs it. Amen. We ought never laugh at holy things. We ought never laugh at people because of who they are or what they do. But there are some things we ought to have a light heart about. We ought to be able to laugh at ourselves a little bit. Just look in the mirror, teenager, and say, hey, God had a good day when he made me. Practical things. Number one, get saved. Get saved. Only a saved person has anything to smile about. When you know you're going to heaven, you got something to smile about. You got something to sing about. You have a purpose in your life. You have a reason to get up out of bed. No matter how bad things are going, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to burn in hell. You got a lot to shout about. Get saved and know it. We're not talking about joining a church or just getting baptized. You have to give your heart to Christ. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Number two, confess all sin. Confess all sin. See, guilt is heavy. Whether it's known sin, everyone knows what you said or what you did. Confession is not to me or a priest. Confess just means you're telling God what he already saw. That shouldn't be real hard. He already saw it. Lord, I hate to tell you this. He already saw it. Hidden sin will take your joy. David said in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David said, I lost my joy. I've written part of the Bible, but I don't have my joy anymore. I've sinned. I had an affair with a neighbor, David said. And no more joy, no more scriptures. That's why oft times you'll see a different attitude in the young people as they're headed out to camp, church camp. Hey, that's my seat. Hey, don't touch my stuff. Hey, we stopped at McDonald's. I hate McDonald's. I love Wendy's. I hate Taco Bell. I don't even know why I came. Why we have all these rules? Why can't we bring this? Who's got my cell phone? Who touched me? Man, it's not joyful. It's not lighthearted. But on the way home, you hear those same kids singing or preaching on the bus. And laugh at how come the guilt is gone. They've confessed and made some things right. It'll give you a light heart. Number three, decrease the negative intake. And please don't look at the person next to you and say, I'm around you too much. You know what I'm talking about? Television. I'm not even talking about television shows. I'm talking about just the news. You want to be a negative person, stay on the news all day long. Whether it's a channel that really reports the real news or the fake news, you're going to take all that in and you're just going to be you're going to want to kill everybody. In 2 minutes you can hear, and China has now sunk another ship, and Iran has taken over our ships, and now President is flying over and shaking hands. They're hugging the North Korea. Man, in about 3 minutes, it's like, it's over. It's no use to live. You're going to have to decrease some negative. Look. You wonder why we're all depressed? We spend about 3 minutes in this book and about 5 hours every day on the news. And about 10 hours texting someone who doesn't have anything real positive to say. Or then you go on social media and find out now you're being bullied. It's like, hey, they're picking on me. It's all negative. Get to church. We love you. You'll hear that God loves you. You'll hear something positive. You'll be around someone that's positive. Here's a man sitting in the back right now. Not going to embarrass him. Author's here today. I never called his name one time. Author got saved on the big day here. He's paralyzed. Can I tell him how you got paralyzed, or is it top secret? It's okay? All right, okay. By the way, I'm going to do your story that way too. I'll just ask publicly. Pressure's on you. So he came to our church. He accepted the Lord as his Savior. The next Sunday, he got baptized. It's the only tandem baptizing we've ever had. One of our men, I said, okay, you three guys, just figure it out. I don't have time to figure it out. I'm getting in the water. I just want to lean him back. Just figure it out. One of our men grabbed him around the chest. So I said the words, and I'm wondering what's going to happen. They both went under. Right, Brother Mike? They both went under. I went by the next week. I said, so, Arthur, tell me the story, if you don't mind telling me. I mean, here's where you live. He said, I was just standing on the street corner. A car pulled up, and they shot me. his sister lost her life violently as well, a block away. You know who's smiling in church this morning? A guy. A guy in that wheelchair right there. He's smiling. How come? Because God's given him a light heart. You're going to have to decrease some negative. There's some reasons to be positive. There's some good things happening around you. Maybe not personally to you, but someone's having some blessings. Quickly, number next. Have plenty of bottle rock music playing all the time with marijuana smoke coming in your nostrils. Dump beer on yourself. Make sure you hear plenty of people cursing. So here's what you need. Plenty of gospel music. I'm not slamming your music. But I guarantee you, it's coming. Some of you better get used to some of this gospel music, because up in heaven, some of your music ain't going to be there. Hey, where's that? They don't have that up here. Where's that? Had too much cussing in. Well, where is that? It's too sensual. Where's that? Too depressing. But the songs up there is going to be about Him. It's not going to be violent. It's not going to be cursing. It's not going to be using God's name in vain. It's not going to be sensuous. It's not going to be filthy. It's going to be about Him. You ought to get you that music, stick it in your CD player. Well, they don't even have those anymore. Your 8-track player, your cassette player. How about your CD Roman numeral? Look, take the chip, just have it implanted in your head. Whatever you listen to, you ought to have some gospel music playing in the background. Because as you get up and the boss says, "You're fired," you need to hear in the background, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." You need to hear something positive in the background. "Pastor, you're knocking my music." "No, I'm not. What you listen to isn't music." Okay. But, look, tomatoes are coming up. And then quickly, and we're done. Talk of your salvation day. You want to have a light heart? Tell someone when you got saved. Tell someone. I'll sit on planes, and I'm finished with this. Sometimes I'll sit on planes with people when I'm speaking somewhere, and I'll say, "So, tell me about the greatest day of your life." Men have to really think. They're thinking about a fish, an animal, a big meal they ate. Ladies are always talking about either the day they got married or when their children got born. And they'll tell me about the greatest day, and then I'll just be quiet. That's great. And then pretty soon the pressure's on. They'll say, and I'll say, "Well, it's February 23rd, 1970. Someone opened a Bible, explained to me how much God loved me. He wanted to save me. I invited Him into my heart that day. I was in my living room at my house. Nothing spooky, but He came in my heart. I'm going to heaven." Has that happened to you? No. I'd like to hear about it. Your heart is light when you're telling others about the day you got saved. Now, I don't know where you are right now. I guarantee you, if we started here all the way across to the back, every one of us has burdens. We have a cross to bear, past, present, health, financial, domestic, children, exes, finances, major medical issues, all of us do. If you're going to live your life, you can live it heavy, or you can live it with a light heart. I wonder why the crowds wanted to be around Jesus. Think he was a grump? Think they made the Grinch that stole Christmas? Is that a life story of Jesus? I think he was fun. Men left their jobs to hang around Jesus. 3.5 years, they did nothing but hang around him. I bet he smiled. I bet he laughed. I bet he helped them have fun. That's the key. This will help you through the rest of the year. You work at getting that merry heart. Lord, I want that merry heart. I'm going to work at it. I've got to have it. Every parent has got to have it if you're going to raise good kids. Your kids won't put up under all that pressure all the time. There's got to be some smiles and some fun. There's got to be. If you don't know how to have fun, you weren't raised that way, get with me, buy me a Starbucks, and I'll give you a list, and I'll help you. And I'll help you. If you do not know the Lord today as your Savior, if you're not 100% sure you've been saved, today's the day to give your heart to Him. It all starts right there at the cross. Trust in Him as your Savior, and you'll leave today lighter than how you came. That's Bible.